If you have your Bibles, would you open up to the book of Romans? We are in Romans chapter 4 this week. And what we're going to do this week, actually, is we're going to skip over a couple verses, and we're going to just highlight a few here in the fourth chapter of Romans. And then next week, we'll go back and we'll cover the ones that we skipped over. But what I wanted to do today is focus on a quote that Paul brings in from the Old Testament, specifically from a psalm. We kind of did that a few weeks ago, but here Paul gives us another one, and I think it would be appropriate and fun for us to spend some time just looking at this quote from Psalm chapter 32. So in Romans chapter 4, we've just gone from this section where we have looked and understood that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And we've understood what it means to be justified by God's grace. We've understood in chapter 3, because of the context of chapter 2 and chapter 1, what it looks like and what it means to say, I am not justified by my own works, my own background, my own lineage. None of that justifies me. The only thing that justifies me before a perfect and holy God is the work that Jesus Christ has done on the cross on my behalf. That God put Jesus forth as a propitiation, a substitute, a satisfactory substitute on my behalf. What a wonderful truth that is, huh? What a really sweet thing it is that we can look and focus on how wonderful, how much a blessing it is to be justified before God. To have God's righteousness imputed to us, credited to our account. And so Paul's spent three chapters now focusing on that. And here in chapter 4, he's going to go back to Abraham, and he's going to explain this justification by grace, justification not by works, but justification by faith, by God's grace, by faith. And he's going to use Abraham as an example. But before we get into that, because we'll spend more time on that next week, he drops this this wording here. In verse 6 of chapter 4, let me read, I'm going to read 6 through 8. Says this, just as David also speaks of the blessing of the one to whom God counts righteous apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin. Is this blessing then only for the circumcised or also for the circumcised? For we say that faith was counted to Abraham as righteousness. We'll stop right there. So we look at what Paul says in these couple of verses here. He uses the word blessing a few times. And so what I wanted to do to begin with is to think about the word blessing. How often have you used that word blessing? I'm blessed because XYZ. What a blessing it is that whatever you want to add in there. Blessing is a word that we use a lot. Blessed is a word that we use a lot. But I'm not sure if we totally fully understand what it means. So, biblically speaking, blessing is something that would draw you closer to God. From the very get-go, this is an understanding that God's people have had and have understood that something is a blessing if it brings me closer to God. Think about Abraham. Abraham is a man who God chooses, not because of anything he's done, not by his merit or anything. God just simply chooses him. He says, I want you. I'm going to choose you. I'm going to make you a mighty nation, a great people. I'm going to be your God. And God does that, and he says, I am going to bless you. I'm going to draw you closer to myself. And those who bless you, those who are blessing to you, I'm going to bless. And those who curse you, I'm going to curse. From the get-go, we see that there's this dichotomy between blessing and curses. And as we follow the story of the Old Testament, as we trace it through, we can see that oftentimes, not always, but oftentimes, blessing and wealth or prosperity go hand in hand. Okay? Abraham, he is wealthy. He is very wealthy. He has a huge entourage. He has a nephew, Lot, and all these people are there with him, and his tent is so full. He's got all these people, all these cattle, and God is blessing him. And people, they look at Abraham, and they say, hey, he's got all this stuff. And so since he's got all this stuff, that must mean that God loves him. That must mean that because he has all this stuff, that he's favored by God. But do you see how they inverted it there? God loves Abraham, and all the stuff comes after that. Not the other way around. And so as time progresses, the people of Israel, they stop thinking and they stop understanding that blessing is something that is to draw us closer to God. And they begin saying blessing is something that is tangible only. It's something that I can possess. It is wealth. It is health. It is some sort of prosperity. Blessing is I'm favored by God if I have stuff. But we see that's not always true. Because we see that those in the Old Testament who are downtrodden. We see David. He's a young shepherd boy. He's the youngest of his brothers. They forget about him. But he's favored. He's blessed. We see Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. We see those four. They are slaves. They are captives. They're taken away to Babylon. And they're blessed. They have nothing, but they're blessed. So we quickly realize that a biblical definition of blessing does not only mean to have stuff, to have wealth, to have prosperity. We see that blessing is something that would draw you closer to God. And in fact, oftentimes, it's the removal of that health. It's the removal of that wealth. It's the removal of those tangible things. It's the removal of those things that can actually draw you closer to God. Then you can actually help you see God more clearly and appreciate Him more clearly. Think about Job. Here's this man who has everything under the sun. Everything he could ever dream of and imagine. And it's all taken away. He loses it all. And what does his wife say? His wife says, why don't you just curse God and die? And Job doesn't do that. He questions God. He says, why me? But he doesn't curse God and die, because in the process of it all, he's able to draw closer to God. In the process of it all, he's able to look at all the things that are good things, but ultimately they're not the thing. And so oftentimes in life, we look at blessings and we, just like the people that are described in Romans chapter 1, in Romans chapter 1, we see people that begin to worship creation rather than creator. And oftentimes we look at things that God has given us, these things that we call blessings. And we look at these things that we call blessings and these good things, and we begin to look at them as the thing rather than focus on the blesser himself. We begin to chase after the things, after the quote-unquote blessings, rather than chasing after the giver of the good things, the blesser, God. You see the difference there? So no, material things are not in and of themselves blessings. But Paul uses this word multiple times. So what does he mean? Verse 6, just as David also speaks of the blessing of the one to whom God counts righteous apart from works. All right, so in order to understand this, let's go to Psalm chapter 32. Psalm chapter 32, let's read in verse 1. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. The one who is blessed, the one who can be drawn near to God, if we're using that definition, that understanding, the one who can have relationship with God, the one who can enjoy relationship with God, is the one whose transgression, whose sins are forgiven. How wonderful is that? So the one who is blessed is not the one who has all the money in the bank account. The one who is blessed is not the one who has been able to climb the corporate ladder. The one who is blessed is not the one who could say, I have perfect health. The one who is blessed is not the one who can look at other people and say, I am a leader of people. The one who is blessed is the one whose sins, whose transgressions are forgiven. How sweet is that? Look at this next word. Whose sin is covered. This is really simple stuff, but it's really profound. The one who is able to draw near to God, the one who is blessed, the one who is counted as someone who is highly favored by God, is the one who is or was a sinner and now no longer is a sinner because that sin is forgiven. Because God has covered up their transgressions. Blessed is the man, verse 2, against whom the Lord counts no iniquity and in whose spirit there is no deceit. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity. Blessed is the one who God looks at and says, there is nothing that I have against you. Okay, that sounds really good, huh? Let's explain that just a little bit further, because Jesus says, don't fear the one who could, destroy you in this life. Fear the one who could destroy your soul in hell. Okay. So if we're understanding that and we recognize that sin has consequences and the wages of sin is death, and that if we're really taking Romans 1 and 2 seriously, recognizing that we all are sinners and fallen short of the glory of God, that we all have brought on the wrath of God, that we all are deserving of the wrath of God, and if you're a sinner, you deserve hell. If that's true, then verse 2, blessed is the man who against whom the Lord counts no iniquity. Blessed is the one who doesn't have to face the wrath of God. Yeah, I would say that's a blessing. I'll take that over a 401k any day, huh? Okay. But it doesn't stop there. Because if we keep reading, we get to verse 5. Excuse me. Verse 5, I acknowledge my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Selah. Selah, it's this musical term, and it means pause, reflect. So let's do just that. Let's pause and reflect. Let's take a deep breath and let's recognize in verse 5, David is saying, I acknowledge my sin to you. Talking to God, saying, I acknowledge my sin to you. That is scary, isn't it? It's something that should cause us to tremble just a little bit. Because think about that time when you were a kid and you did something wrong and you had to go before mom and dad. And as you go before mom and dad, you know that they know what you did. And you know that they know what you did because they got that look on their face. And it's that slight smile. And as a kid, you're thinking, oh, they know. And you know that all they want you to do is just simply say, I did it. And for some reason, as a little kid, we know that they want us to say, I did it. But there's something in us that what comes out, you ready for this? I didn't do it. That's what we do, right? Because there's something in us that just doesn't want to admit that we're a sinner. There's just something in us that wants to run away from that. Because we're shameful. We want to hide it. We want to be just like Adam and Eve. What did they do? They sinned against a perfect and holy God. And what did they do? They hid. They were ashamed. They looked and they said, oh, we're naked. We are ashamed. We got to hide from God. And so in verse 5, David says, I acknowledge my sin to you and I did not cover my iniquity. What he is describing is the blessing of repentance. What he is describing is it is a blessing. It is something that draws you closer to God when you repent. When you can go before him and say, God, I'm agreeing with you. You know I'm a sinner. I know I'm a sinner. I'm not trying to hide that anymore. I'm exposing myself to you. I'm laying myself bare before you. And I recognize that you know exactly who I am. And I'm no longer going to try to pretend that I am not that. I acknowledge my sin to you. I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord. And you forgave the iniquity of my sin. What a blessing it is to go before God in repentance with a contrite heart. To go before him and say, Lord, I have sinned. I have fallen short of your glory. I have fallen short of your perfect holy standard. I've come way short of that. And in fact, not only have I come way short of that, there's no way that I could ever measure up. I confess that I am a sinner by nature, by choice, and that there's something within me that wants to just keep sinning. It's that default original sin nature. It's in me, and I'm fighting it, and I'm battling it. And God, I don't want to do it anymore. But I am incapable of doing this good living, Christian living, God-honoring, Christ-like living. I'm incapable of doing that on my own. I need your forgiveness. So we go before him in repentance. And here's a really sweet thing. The Bible gives us so many promises. And one of the greatest promises that we can hold on to is 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Lead us and cleanse us and lead us into all righteousness. What an awesome God, huh? So I acknowledge my sin to you and I did not cover my iniquity. Repentance is not something that is something that we have to do as punishment. It's not something that we have to do in order to somehow outweigh the bad that we've done. This isn't a penance system here. Repentance instead is going before God and saying, Lord, would you bless me? Would you draw me closer to you? Because I don't want to be far from you anymore. I want to be close to you. I want to draw close to you. Bible tells us that we draw near to God, he'll draw near to us. So we confess our sins to Him, and we say, Lord, I'm repenting. I am no longer walking this way. I'm turning 180, and I'm walking towards You. Full repentance, no longer my way, but Yours. And repentance is a blessing. Let's keep reading. Verse 6, therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to You at the time when you may be found. Surely in the rush of great waters they shall not reach Him. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. Selah. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Be not like a horse or a mule without understanding, which must be curbed and with a bit and bridle, or it will not stay near you. What a neat thing. It's as though God is saying, hey, don't be like a dumb animal that I have to put a bridle on and keep yanking this way and pushing that way. Instead, just walk where I lead you. Just do what you ought to do because you're so wrapped up in His presence. Verse 10. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but the steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in hearts. But the steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. It is a blessing to have God's love surround you. His presence is a blessing. As I was not feeling so well this last week and in and out of consciousness, I guess, it was an interesting thing because we... let me explain. We went down to spend some time with Ashley's grandma because she's still mourning the loss of her husband. And so we went and spent some time with her, and we had to leave early because Eli got a fever. I wasn't feeling so good. And so Ashley drove back up. And have you ever seen a movie where like, you know, the main character is maybe drugged or something like that, and you have this like montage of like the screen goes black and it's like their eyes are opening and you see a little clip of something and then their eyes go black again and then there's a little clip of the next part of the journey or something like you kind of see what I'm talking. That was the experience, okay? That was the experience that I experienced on Wednesday, because one moment Ashley, my wonderful dear wife, she's loading me into the car, and then the next moment, we're in Kenosha. I'm going, how did we get here, right? And then the next moment, we're stopped at a Quick Trip, and I go, whoa, that's weird. And the next moment, I'm in bed, and my own home. I'm like, how did this happen, right? And it's just my dear wife who is taking care of a sick kid and a sick husband, and she's carrying us through this, right? There is a blessing of having a presence around you that you're not even fully aware of sometimes. So here I was, sick as a dog, and Ashley is taking care of us, got us home safely, got us into bed safely, and the next thing I knew, I woke up and I said, what day is it? It's Friday, hon. Oh! How many times in your life has God done that to you? Where you don't know exactly what's going on. You don't know exactly what is bombarding you all around. But the Lord, His steadfast love, He's just surrounding you. He's protecting you. He's carrying you from one trial to the next. And in hindsight, you look back and you go, how did I get through that? How did I survive? How did I make it from point A to point B? I don't know. I can't even fully comprehend. I don't understand how I made it through that trial. I don't understand how I made it through that difficult time. But somehow, God carried me. He sustained me. And folks, that is a blessing. That is a greater blessing, far greater than any financial security, than any relationship here on earth. That is a blessing greater than anything we can comprehend, is God's steadfast love that is surrounding us. God's steadfast love that is available for those who are forgiven. It is such a blessing to be free and forgiven, safe in his arms. Many are the sorrows of the wicked. We can stop right there and say, well, I mean, the righteous, they have sorrows too, right? Many are the sorrows of the wicked. Yeah, we get that. But sometimes it seems like the wicked are having fun in life, huh? Sometimes it seems as though the wicked are winning in life. Sometimes it seems as though the wicked are actually prospering. And it's the righteous that are sorrowful. It's the righteous that are having the difficult time. It's the righteous that are being downtrodden. It's the righteous that they're the ones that are full of sorrows. But the steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. The things of this earth, the stuff of this earth that would come and bombard us, those don't matter in comparison to the incredible love and safe and security of God's steadfast love that wraps us up. That's the blessing. The blessing isn't that we have these trials and these difficulties that are removed. The blessing is that the Lord carries us through them. The blessing is that he gives us his presence. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. Folks, we ought to live our lives in such a way that shouts who our God is, because he's blessed us. Because he has blessed us with forgiveness. Because of these last few weeks as we've spent time looking at what God has done through Jesus Christ on the cross, the person and work of Jesus Christ, to be able to justify us apart from our works. Because God has done this incredible work for us. Because we have the gospel, which is the power of God for salvation, we can count ourselves as the most blessed. As those who are highly favored by God, because we are ones that are drawing near to God. We are ones who have repentance. We are ones who have forgiveness. We are ones who have God's presence. We are ones who, if we call ourselves a Christian, if we put our trust in Jesus, then the Holy Spirit of God is dwelling inside of us. And if that incredible truth is in fact reality in your life, then you are so blessed. You are blessed beyond measure. You are blessed beyond comprehension. And nothing that happens in this life, nothing that you endure, nothing that comes and hits you upside the head, nothing matters in comparison to that. The fact that God has offered forgiveness for your sins. The fact that God has brought you near. A stranger and an orphan, he has made a son and a daughter. That is a blessing that no other thing can touch. That is a blessing that is far beyond anything that we can even fully grasp, fully understand. And so as I read Psalm 32, there's three times where we see that word Selah. Pause, reflect, take notes, take a breath. Think that we need to do that more often. As we think about this simple truth that blessed are the forgiven. You who are forgiven because of what Jesus Christ has done on the cross, you're blessed. Take a breath, take a pause, reflect on that truth. And as we reflect on that truth, you know what it's going to do? It's going to change how we live our lives. If we truly take that seriously, then we're going to approach difficult situations differently. If we truly take that seriously, then we're going to approach the frustrations that bombard us differently. We're going to be kinder to people that would call themselves our enemies. We're going to talk softer to our friends and families. We're going to be less riled up by the things of this world. Why? Because we're blessed. So brother, sister in Christ, take a pause. Take a breath. You're free. You're forgiven in Jesus Christ. And blessed are the forgiven. And so, if we're to walk out of here with anything today, let's walk out with the knowledge and the deep understanding that I, because of Jesus, have been able to draw near to God. And there's nothing in this world that's better than that. And because there's nothing in this world that's better than that, then, like the old song says, I can face tomorrow because He lives. I can navigate through this difficult season because He has freed me, because He's forgiven me, because His steadfast love surrounds me. I can do it because He's holding me. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this morning. We thank You for this simple but really profound truth. Lord, help us to understand it on a deeper level. Lord, help us to truly, fully grasp what it means to be blessed because we are forgiven. Lord, thank You that You cover our sin. Lord, thank You that we can repent. We can go before You. We can confess our sin. You're faithful. You're just. You cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, we thank You that You have blessed us with Your presence. And Lord, let that be our strength to face tomorrow and the next day and the next. Let us be people that are calm. Let us be people that can pause and reflect and rest in Your presence, in Your forgiveness, in Your blessing. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Wanted to close by simply reading Numbers chapter 6. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. God bless you. See you next week.